Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. Delighted to have you on board. Looking forward to your input, dialogue, and discussion on some serious issues that we're dealing with today, dealing with issues across America and especially here in the state of Florida. We'll talk about those in a moment, but let me remind you, we'd love to have you join in our worship service Sunday morning. 9:30 is the Bible study hour. Some call it Sunday school. The Sunday school Bible study hour at 9:30 at First Conservative Baptist Church, and at 10:45, the morning worship service. We still believe in the gospel preaching of verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter expository biblical preaching. This is the reason we refer to ourselves as central biblicists. It's what does the Word of God say? And then at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, the evening worship service, we'd love to have you join in one of those worship times. We still believe in the old gospel songs and not the rock and roll music today that you hear the drum beat and you can't hear the words to it. So if you're looking for a church where the gospel is proclaimed verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book throughout the Bible, and you're looking for a church where the gospel music blesses the heart, prepares the heart for the message of the Word of God to be proclaimed, we'd love to have you come. We've met you on there. We'd love to meet you in person Sunday morning at 10:45, the morning worship at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, and the Bible study hour at 9:30. We're located at 12021 Old San Augustine Road, exactly 1 mile south of I-295, approximately 3.5 miles north of I-95. We're right between 295 and 95, right in the very heart of Mandarin. Looking forward to having you join with us on Sunday morning as we worship together. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, let me remind you once again that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. You see, as I speak to you each day, it's not a matter of what I think, say, or feel. It's not a matter of a denominational dogma with its rites and rituals and rules and regulations. It's a matter of what does the Word of God say? How does God come into the picture? Many times, even as Christians, there's an attempt, I believe, to live life without the Word of God, without the influence of Scripture, without the biblical input in our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, it just won't happen. This is the reason Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we search for answers, we recommend that you go to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the Bible. And lest I forget it, let me remind you that you can join in the dialogue and the discussion today simply by dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413 gets you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the discussion together. I pray that you'll participate. This program is designed around you, our listener. It's a Q&A program. It's the question and answer. We set the stage with the issues and the questions and offer answers based on the authority of Scripture. But we invite you to participate. So let's hear from you today if you're interested in what's taking place, especially as we look at what I'm calling today the battle for the soul of America. The battle for the soul of America. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we could call it the battle for the soul of Florida because it's one and the same as we look at the events that are taking place. But may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, every Christian, every concerned citizen, and every conservative ought to pay attention today. It is vital, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the battle for the soul of our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us as we're witnessing that battle for the soul of America. It is very obvious that we see this in the intolerance and the incivility that's displayed in our nation today. The intolerance and the incivility. You see, the thing that just simply, if you want to use the term that the world uses often, it blows my mind, is to find that supposedly we as Christians and we as conservatives are the ones that's intolerant. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching an intolerant incivility in our nation today. How do I know that? We're watching as thugs circle around the home of Tucker Carlson, beating on the door, defacing his property, while his frightened wife is closeted in terror inside. Here's the article that touches on that. It says, mob threatens the Fox News Tucker Carlson. A leftist mob known for disrupting the private lives of Trump supporters launched an attack late Wednesday on Fox News host Tucker Carlson, chanting in front of his home. "We know where you sleep at night," they chanted. Carlson was at Fox News studio when the angry crowd shouted and screamed at his home, prompting his wife to call 911, the D.C. reported. At least one of the protesters went all the way up to Carlson's front door, where they left a sign with his family's home address written on it and rang the doorbell. They demanded that the Carlsons flee the city of Washington. One demonstrator is heard in the video threatening Tucker Carlson, "We are outside your home to protest your fascism and racism." You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's the intolerance. These that are banging on his door, these that are chanting, these that are saying, in fact, on one that could be heard said that they'd like to have a pipe bomb to place around his house. These are the ones that are the fascists. These are the ones that are the racists. These are the ones that are the mobsters. This article further says Carlson told the Washington Post that his wife, quote, had been in the kitchen alone getting ready to for dinner, and she heard pounding on the front door and screaming. Someone started throwing himself against the front door and actually cracked the front window. She locked herself in a safe area and called 911. The Metropolitan Police Department said that about 20 people had formed a mob at Carlson's home. And one further note, a San Francisco Chronicle reported a woman who was overheard in one of the videos saying she wanted to bring a pipe bomb to Tucker Carlson's home. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not intolerance and incivility, nothing is. But then we have further than that, ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic operatives chasing Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her husband out of a restaurant. Senator McConnell confronted in a restaurant while eating. Maxine Waters calling for more incivility and more intolerance and more destruction of the Americans' fundamental foundation and the fabric of our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of other examples could be articulated, but time will not allow to go into the details of the other events of the intolerance and incivility that's being broadcast and expressed across America today. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist Democrats do not want America to know what's taking place. Do not want America to have any different approach, because you see, they see it as a civil war to force socialism on America. Now, why is this so important for a Christian? Why should I be talking about this issue as a Christian today? Very clearly, the scripture in Colossians 2:8 warns, "Beware lest any man spoil you, that is, deceive you through philosophy, that is, in intellectual ideology, and vain deceit, that is, lies, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, our government was formed by God. Our government is formed as a minister of God. In fact, the scripture says in Romans 13:1 and following, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power, no authority, but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And it further says, "For rulers are not a terror to good work, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." For he that's talking about government is the minister. It is the diakonos. The word in the Greek text means servant. He is the servant of God. Government, ladies and gentlemen, is a servant of God for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he heareth not the sword, he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a capitalization of that elongated text. God created government for the purpose of protecting good and prosecuting and punishing evil. But we have it reversed in society today, where there seems to be a mentality of intolerance and incivility that's permeating our society. Galatians 5:1 warns us, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," that's the freedom, "wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Ladies and gentlemen, this text is talking about our freedom from legalism in the letter of the law, but we may apply it today in the liberties that we have as citizens. There are those in the socialist movement today that are attempting to destroy the freedoms that we have in America. They're attempting today to give us a socialistic form of government. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that the attempt is to destroy our Bill of Rights. It is to cancel our religious liberties. It is to abridge our freedom of speech. It is to remove the right to keep and bear arms. And that's what Andrew Gillum said he wanted to do. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It's not just politics. It is a battle for the soul of America. It's a battle for the soul of our nation. Just who are these people? Just to name a few of them, we need to simply look at the attempts today to steal the Florida election, to steal it. There's an attempt today in the state of Florida, and I don't know if you've been watching the news or listening to the reports on it. You're not seeing anything about it on the Communist Network News, the fake news, the Clinton Network News. You're not finding anything said about this in the negative sense. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a whole entourage of attorneys that have landed in Miami-Dade counties for the very purpose, the express purpose of changing the vote, of switching the election, of stealing the election from we the people, we the citizens in the state of Florida. In fact, Marco Rubio says this. Senator Rubio says Dems, that's Democrats, some call them demon rats, but anyway, Marco Rubio says the Dems are trying to steal the Florida election. Let me just read you two or three brief paragraphs from this elongated article as the result of the conversation with Senator Rubio and put in print. With visions of hanging chads dancing in their heads, Democratic Party lawyers are arriving in two Democratic-controlled counties to steal, listen, Marco Rubio's words, to steal the election, charges Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. In a series of tweets Thursday, Rubio charged that in Broward and Palm Beach counties, election officials are continuing to count ballots, reporting tens of thousands of additional votes for Democratic candidates, including incumbent Bill Nelson and gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum. Rubio further says, Rubio noted that Florida law requires the counties to report early voting and vote by mail within 30 minutes of the polls closing. That would have been, ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday night at approximately 8 o'clock at the latest. 7 o'clock the polls closed. 8 o'clock would have been an hour. But that the law requires that early voting ballots and the ballots by mail be reported by the time the polls close, within 30 minutes. But 43 hours after the poll closed, this article says, Broward and Palm Beach counties are still counting, Rubio tweeted, and refusing to disclose how many ballots they have left to count. Broward and Palm Beach counties and the notorious Hanging Chad were focal points of the 2000 presidential election between George W. Bush and Al Gore. That was decided by the Florida vote, which Bush won by 537 votes out of nearly 6 million votes counted or cast. Rubio said the latest ballot dump from the Broward County flipped the agricultural commissioner's race to the Democrats and cut former Florida Governor Rick Scott's lead in the Senate race from 54,000 to now only 17,000. And we still don't know how many ballots they have left to count, Senator Rubio says. Florida Secretary of State told the county election supervisor Thursday to plan for as many as 3 statewide recounts, according to the Miami Herald reporting. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the fiasco of 2000 replayed in Miami-Dade, Broward counties. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that we're watching the attempt take place today, and it's a battle over the soul of America. And may I just simply interject this? The battle is really a battle between God and Satan, a battle between good and evil, a battle between the demise of liberty and freedom of speech and freedom of religious preferences in America. It's a battle to bring that to a screeching halt and the demise of the constitutional republic and the representative form of government that we have today. Here's an article that says, Governor Scott warns of rampant voter fraud. Dateline Tallahassee. Governor Rick Scott's Senate campaign is suing the Broward County election supervisor to turn over records regarding how ballots are being counted. During a news conference Thursday night, Governor Scott accused the election officials in Broward and Palm Beach counties of trying to thwart the will of the people, the voters, as recounts seemed likely to for several statewide races. Scott said he is ordering the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to investigate elections offices in Broward and Palm Beach counties. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. This is not to be taken nonchalantly, not to be heard lightly. This is a serious, serious thing that's taking place in the state of Florida. And may I remind us, we still have a shadow government that's operated out of the Barack Obama shadow government headquarters in Washington, D.C., and is being carried out through the Barack Obama henchmen across America, funded primarily by George Soros, to overthrow the constitutional republic in the United States of America. And the only way that is possible, ladies and gentlemen, is to take states like Florida and Texas and other key states, swing states as they call them, and try to flip them to blue, that is Democratic, in preparation for the 2020 presidential election. That's exactly what we're watching today, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what is taking place. Governor Scott warns that this rampant voter fraud, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing a replay of what I call the shameful fiasco of the Bush-Gore 2000 election and an all-out battle in the Miami-Dade, Palm Beach counties to try to thwart the will of the people. Ladies and gentlemen, just in 2016, the supervisor of elections in Miami-Dade counties and the Palm Beach County, in that area, ladies and gentlemen, the one that was in charge of the voting then is the same one today, and she was charged with a crime of destroying ballots. Now, my question is, why isn't she in jail? Why wasn't she prosecuted? Why wasn't she put out of office? We wouldn't have this problem today if the proper legal remedies had been sought and found in that day, just 2016, just 2 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, we're faced with the fraud that's taking place. But wait a minute. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The real issue, as I touched on a moment ago, is the long tentacles flowing from Clinton and Obama out of Washington, D.C., through the shadow government at work. Those connections from Washington are the very ones pulling the strings in the state of Florida today. Listen to me. Hear me well. Listen to what I'm telling you. Here's an article, for example. Obama's campaign paid $972,000 to the law firm that secretly paid Fusion GPS in 2016. Former President Barack Obama's official campaign organization has directed nearly $1 million to the same law firm that funneled money to Fusion GPS, the same firm behind the infamous Steele dossier, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the one that was fabricated and given to the and paid for by Obama and the D.C., Democratic National DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. And these are the same documents that were used and is being used for the past 2 years by Robert Mueller to try to persecute and prosecute and destroy the legally elected president of the United States of America, President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. It goes much deeper than that which I have just stated. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we're witnessing the attempt to overthrow the vote of the citizens in the state of Florida. And it's being done by the shadow government out of Washington, D.C., with the Clinton-Obama tentacles reaching all the way to Miami-Dade counties. The attorney, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the attorney for Bill Nelson, he has filed suit against the state of Florida, and specifically the Miami-Dade to Palm Beach counties, to have a recount of the vote in order to flip the vote to make it Bill Nelson's election. The overthrow of the Florida Senate race is none other than the same attorneys the DNC and the Clintons used to funnel money to Fusion GPS, the same attorneys who fabricated the Russian dossier that was then used for the Mueller investigation for the past 2 years. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that is pretty succinct. Listen. I've about forgotten to remind you, you can call 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Perhaps you've got insight questions or comments. We're dealing with a very serious issue today in the state of Florida. We're dealing with an issue that it demands that Christians and conservatives pray. It demands that we take a stand and pray, that we say, God, intervene and give us victory. God, do not allow the shadow government to destroy the state of Florida. And ladies and gentlemen, it goes broader, much broader and deeper than I believe the average citizen can even wrap their minds around. This article, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Perkins Coie, C-O-I-E, hired firm that compiled the Russian dossier, the Trump dossier. Here's the article. Perkins Coie lawyer Mark Elias, listen, Mark Elias is now a retainer hired by Bill Nelson in South Florida. Mark Elias is getting paid between $550 and $750 per hour to go in. And when he met with the news media just 2 days ago, he summarily announced, we're here to flip the election. We're here to flip the election. You can't get any more dogmatically clear than that. And this article talks about the Perkins Coie lawyer, Mark Elias, hired the company that compiled a dossier with allegations about Donald Trump's Russian connections. The law firm confirmed on Tuesday. Elias hired the company, Fusion GPS, to assist in the law firm's representation of Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. The Clinton campaign and the DNC helped pay for the opposition research, according to the background story. The law firm's involvement became public in a letter filed in the court that was written by Perkins Coie managing partner Matthew Greenhammer. Anonymous sources told the Post that Fusion GPS reports were provided to Elias. Now, that's Mark Elias. These reports were given to Mark Elias. Mark Elias with the international law firm Perkins Coie. Mark Elias is the one that is now on the ground in South Florida, working his magic, as he likes to call it, in relationship to flipping the election so that Bill Nelson will be elected and that Andrew Gillum will be elected rather than those that we, the people, we, the voters, we, the citizens, elected officially and legally by casting ballots. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not unusual for the Miami-Dade, Palm Beach counties to hours and days after an election to have truckloads of ballots that are all of a sudden discovered that they didn't know they had, all of a sudden discovered that they had not counted, all of a sudden discovered that the majority of which supposedly are Democratic ballots. This article here is telling. Bill Nelson's campaign lawyer predicts a hand recount and a victory. Attorney Mark Elias called it a jump ball between Nelson and Scott leading the recount. Listen to this article, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Elias, chair of the Perkins Coie political law practice, is working for Senator Bill Nelson in Florida. The Democratic Party's premier election lawyer predicts, listen, the Democratic Party's premier election lawyer predicts that the Florida Senate race is headed for a hand recount. And he said Thursday that he thinks Bill Nelson may be the de facto reelected senator for the state of Florida. Mark Elias, the partner of Perkins Coie, who is now representing Nelson's Senate campaign for recount purposes, said he expected that when the first round of counting of ballots is completed, the margin between Nelson and Republican Governor Rick Scott will come down to within 0.25%. The threshold requires under the Florida law for a manual recount. The race is already within the 0.05 or the 0.5, that is 5%, a small percentage, machine recount threshold. Currently, Senator Nelson trails by fewer than 22,000 votes. Elias told reporters on a Nelson conference call yesterday, quote, "I expect that this is going to be close," end quote. Elias said, "I think that they are roughly equal probability. Nelson will be ahead or behind at the start of the hand recount. It is called," he said, "jump ball. We believe that at the end of the process, Nelson is going to be declared the winner." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's from an attorney representing Bill Nelson, coming out of an international law firm that's famous for going in and flipping elections by challenging the election ballot in court, challenging the returns, and challenging the number of ballots. And it's always done by ballots that the Democrats found that they didn't know they had. It's always done by the recount of ballots that will make it look as though the Democrats had the larger number of ballots. It's always done, and when it's in the state of Florida, it is always, always, always done in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Do you find that ironic? I do. I find it sad when we see this taking place right before our eyes, where there's an attempt to flip the election. Bill Nelson's campaign lawyer predicts that Bill Nelson will be the winner. And they've not even had a recount yet. They've not even gone through all of the ballots. And these ballots, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, are being discovered. Now, here's an article that says, Florida voters films Broward County election officials transferring ballots in rented trucks even after election night. Florida voter Joanne Knox captured Broward County election officials transferring ballots on rented trucks election night and forward. This violates all chain of custody requirements for the paper ballots, argues independent congressional candidates of the Florida 23rd District. And it goes further to talk about how this is taking place even as I speak on the broadcast today. There's still, ladies and gentlemen, in Miami-Dade, Broward counties, and in Palm Beach counties, they're still finding ballots that they didn't know they had. When the law, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the federal law and the state law on election law requires that all ballots be accounted for within 30 minutes of election headquarters and the voting precincts being closed. That would have been at the latest 7:30 on Tuesday. And here it is now, 3 or 4 days later, they're still discovering ballots and pulling them out. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, Miami-Dade still bringing in the boxes of ballots. Where did they come from? Why weren't they found? Why didn't they know they had them? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at the shadow government in its operation of trying to destroy the election that we have just had in the state of Florida. And it's by the same attorneys and the same shadow government that funded the GPS, Fusion GPS operation to try to destroy President Trump and his election for the past 2 years. They've been hounding him. We must, as citizens, as Christians, as conservatives, we must pray. We must seek God's face. We must ask for God's intervention to protect us as a nation, as a people, and as citizens. Remember, every believer, and I believe every believer that's listening under the sound of my voice today, every believer is and will continue to be affected by the outcome of this fraud that's being attempted in the state of Florida. It's underway in Miami-Dade and Broward and Palm Beach counties. We must not allow Andrew Gillum, the socialist mayor, to become the governor of the state of Florida. We must not allow Bill Nelson to steal the election. Ladies and gentlemen, pray. Ask God to intervene. Ask God to give us the victory. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is our responsibility as Christians to be salt and light and to stand for truth. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.